We really do sound like Stimpy and Sven sometimes.
We do.
Ren comes home and we're just in a corner giggling. My opera records! Ruined! Covered in bubblegum! My collection of rare incurable diseases is violated! All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. My collection of dinosaur eggs painted like Easter eggs! You, both of you, I'm gonna hit you, and you're gonna fall, and I'm gonna look down and laugh.
All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. It's the worst day of Sarah Dillon's life. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Here with Clyde Lewis. So you couldn't tell?
Yeah.
Clyde Lewis going to be at Dante's tonight. History Channel going to be there filming. And you can tell it's a Clyde Lewis event because it is presumably a documentary-style filming. And then the little flyer that's being put up around it says, come in costume, and like with like a picture of a Wookiee at the bottom. So there you go. So that's what time is it happening?
It starts at 8, but I think I want people to start coming in around 7
o'clock. So go there now.
Yeah, go there now. It's going to be crazy. I mean, I ran into the Klingons and the Star Wars people. And McMinnville, and they said they're going to be there. So bring a camera, too. You know, you'll be able to take pictures with your favorite space people.
We got Chris from Mechanics is going to give us the lowdown on the Trojan implosion coming up here in just a moment. Later on, Peter Carlin is going to join us to talk about Sopranos last night. What else? Oh, we got awful news. I've been teasing this awful news right here. Featuring the phrase, onlookers were splattered in blood. So we'll get to that later on. And it was completely severed. There was just blood all over the walls. That's coming up, kids.
What fun.
Yeah, it's a good time. What else are you going to do? Sit there and listen to some crap about school levies? 503-733-2970. Well, let's get, before we do anything else, Sarah, let's go to the phone show. We'll get the lowdown on the Trojan implosion with our good friend, Kristen from accounting, who joins us now on the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sister?
I'm peachy keen, thanks.
Yay, it's Kristen.
Hey, Clyde.
How are you?
Let's all hug.
I'm great.
Oh, we're hugging.
Okay.
Nice.
What's up?
Hey, no, I was just, you know, I heard you earlier talking about a little Trojan implosion.
Now, were you there? You went to see it?
I did.
Oh,
I actually drove in with one of our news crews so I could, you know, not have to worry about parking and getting there on time.
News crews you can use?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Something like that.
All right.
No, what are we? I can't even remember our slogan. Anymore.
You're the spirit of the Northwest.
The spirit of the Northwest.
The new spirit.
Are you allowed
of the
to say that?
Sure. Why not?
I don't care. Doesn't matter.
But the funny thing was, we were told that there were all these rules, and you know, you couldn't camp out, you couldn't stay there overnight, and we were led to believe there would be thousands of people waiting to get in.
Right.
Not really so.
Right. Well, I know because they were. I was going to go, but then I was told that it was going to be next to impossible to get anywhere.
Like, yeah, a gate that was locked.
I thought it was going to be like the Devil's Tower thing at the end of Close Encounters, where there's like the cops and the gas mask, and they're all, you must go back, you know. And I was just like, screw it, I'll just sleep in.
No, the only thing was there were two guys that came up, and they were like, we were kind of on a helicopter platform,
right.
And they told us, now if a helicopter needs to fly in, you people are going to have to move.
Okay.
Like that kind of wouldn't be a given anyway.
Excellent.
But anyway, yeah, it was pretty cool to see.
Excellent. And so how long did the, I mean, was there a big sound and a whatever, or?
No, the sonic boom, whatever you want to call it, happened, because I was standing next to our photographer who was getting the feed of the countdown,
right.
Which we couldn't hear from where we were.
Right.
So all of a sudden the lights or the, you know, the explosions happened. You could see the big T because they did it in a T shape.
Right.
So that it would kind of collapse. Onto itself.
Inward, yes.
And so you saw the lights go off, and then it just started to crumble, just, you know, straight down.
You're going to make Sarah cry.
And then all of a sudden, there was just this big, like, 10 seconds later, boom.
Now, was there like, a big wall of dust that rolled out everywhere?
It was great. It was floating all down the Oregon side of it.
Were you unnerved that you were being covered in dust from a radioactive cooling plant?
No, what was cool is the breeze was blowing the right way, so it was going completely the opposite way from where we were standing.
So it's killing everybody on the other side of the river.
It was covering everybody in Oregon. So
fantastic.
We stayed there a few extra hours.
Did anybody yell out the words, oh, the humanity, oh, the humanity? I just, it's like describing the Hindenburg disaster.
No, but it was funny because over the headphones of the photographer I was standing with, all of a sudden this guy, as soon as they did the countdown and, yeah. you know, the thing blew, this guy over the headphones just screamed, "Oh, my God!"
Like, it's fantastic.
I'm going to try and get some audio of that.
Please do. I gotta try to find footage of it, although I guess it's on Tim's site. Yeah, but if you can find his audio, that'd be fantastic.
Well, the coolest part was there was a pool camera that all of the media outlets were using, I guess, because I saw video of it after.
Right.
But there was this one pool camera that was, like, down on the bottom, like, on the base of it. So you kind of got that from up high, it was coming down on top of you, and there's, like, rocks coming.
You know what we should have done? We should have pooled our money together, and we should have bought a camera to put inside.
There was
a camera.
Believe it or not,
really?
There was
yeah.
a camera
oh,
inside.
That's badass.
Yeah.
Cool.
It only lasted for a second.
There was a camera on the guy who pressed the button. I saw that one, too.
As he went up underneath.
He pulled the short straw.
There's a guy.
Bob, don't you have cancer anyway? Come on, what are you doing?
Video of this guy, he's like, you know, he's like crouched down on the ground, and he's got the little box, and he unrolls it, attaches everything. The countdown happens, he presses the button, cuts the strings, and he walks out.
All right. Excellent. All right, well, thank you. Well, you can find audio, you pass that our way.
Anything I can find. Mikasa Sukasa, my friend.
God bless you, Kristen in the county. Thank you, Kristen. All right, there you go.
That was great.
All right, it's 503-733-2970. Shall we roll the top five, Sarah?
We could.
All right, in the stead of Tim Riley, one Clyde Lewis rolling out the top five. Let's just kick it off here with the, as we always do right here on the Rick Emerson radio program.
3, 2, 1, fire.
Wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy.
I love to count,
don't you?
Ladies and gentlemen, in the newsroom, it's Clyde Lewis.
And on this week in 1980, it was with Mount St. Helens erupted, leveling the landscape and demolishing all in its path. Of course, Mount St. Helens wasn't alone that day in raining down such fiery destruction and pain. No! There was an artistic devastation to be had, too, with some of the worst music ever heard by modern ears. And as Harry Truman, the old 90-year-old geezer on the mountain...
I'm not leaving the mountain!
Not leaving at all! You're the top five songs that were on his radio the day he snuffed it.
The top five songs playing out of Harry Truman's radio as he was covered with molten ash and mud.
Okay.
As he was melting into a small pile of goo. These are the last songs Harry Truman heard on that fine day.
Honorable mention, number 6, Ambrosia, and You're the Biggest Part of Me.
That's wrong.
That's not
it. Oh, hello. It was right before. Hold on. Let's stop that.
Okay, here we go.
But let's ponder Harry Truman hearing that as he's being destroyed by mud. Ah, there we go. All right. He's picturing a huge wall of fiery mud coming through his window.
He's going to do it.
Boy, that doesn't look too nice.
We should do a news segment where it's news is reported by Harry Truman. And we just get like 3 words into it and then just have the huge sound of mud that's killing him.
Harry Truman's family's going to call us on the phone.
This is the worst. You should know that a band called Ambrosia is going to have terrible music. Get your lovin' here beside me. I don't even know what they're referring to.
These are songs you probably wish that molten lava would fall on you
songs
if you're listening.
That make you
to
want to jab out your own ears with a pen. Oh, God, I hate the 80s. People have this nostalgia for the 80s. Those people are fools.
Yes, they are.
You can have nostalgia for us. Listen to this. I think it's okay to have nostalgia, Sarah Dillon style, for specific songs from the 80s, specific groups. People who have nostalgia for this whole decade are idiots and tone deaf. Because most of the 80s is crap.
Well, New Wave was okay. I mean, punk. This is crap. Is there anytime soon I can move to the next song?
Whenever.
Okay. And now, number 5, it's Air Supply and Lost in Love.
This is a great song.
K-Lite. 93.
There's no K-Lite. Only Zool. It's K-Hits.
Well, I mean, I worked at a K-Lite station. We played this all the time.
Oh, I see. This is a great song.
I realize the best part of love.
These guys were in Vegas the last time I was there.
They really?
Played the Rio, I think, yeah. I was like,
are they fat?
No, they have bad weaves, though. Full-on bad rugs.
You get eaten by tigers?
I think they were the opening act. I think it was like them and then Penn and Teller.
Oh.
They were like, they were sort of the puppet show.
Friends with Penn and Teller.
I like this song.
Do you?
I do. I like Air Supply.
I like Air Supply, too.
I got... I'll admit that.
I like ABBA, but
I'm
like
down
Air
with
Supply.
Air Supply.
No. No.
Air Supply, this, Making Love and Nothing at All Out of Love. What are you going to do?
Meatloaf should have sang them. And now let's go to number four. It's Billy Preston and Syreeta with You, I'm Born Again.
These are the worst songs I've ever heard.
Or
you kind of got the top five songs, by the way, from the week of Mount St. Helens, Fiery Doom in 1980. See, even the intro is crap.
No. Harry Truman, man living on mountain.
So anyway, I was walking.
Your softness.
Your softness.
Covered me through all.
He's singing to a.
This guy, the guy who always emails about Sarah's therapist undressing her.
Don't you know,
this is what his thoughts about Sarah sound like.
I'm born again.
Your softness. Next to me.
Come give me.
Syreeta.
Is that my part?
You come give me your sweetness.
Doesn't Syreeta sound like a cheese?
or some sort of anti-inflammatory drug?
Before taking Syreeta, contact your... Syreeta may cause scabbing of the face.
Side effects
and heart arrhythmia.
Oily stool. Okay.
Syreeta. Who is Syreeta?
Who knows?
Is it a person? A woman?
Syreeta sounds like secretia or something. Number three, it's Kenny Rogers and Kim Carnes with Don't Fall in Love with a Dreamer.
You can tell it's a sad song. The first two notes on the piano and you know what kind of song it is, right?
Yeah.
This sounds like Timmy T, One More Try.
Yeah.
Sitting there. Have you seen him?
My eyelids are gone.
Better than tonight. And it'd be so.
You know the song, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Don't Fall in Love with a Dreamer?
No.
Tell you what to say. It's got like Kim Carnes. She's got one of those all-time identifiable voices. You hear her, you know exactly who it is.
Kim Half Alone Carnes.
Wait for it. She did Betty Davis Eyes. She got kind of a Bonnie Tyler thing going on.
You close the door.
I always thought this was Melissa Manchester.
I always wondered how Kim Carnes ever made it, because I didn't like her voice at all.
It's because it was so identifiable. It was so scrapey. Scrapey voice chicks do kind of well.
Scrapey?
Scrapey.
It's scabby voice.
Big hook.
Here we go.
Don't fall in love with a dreamer.
Always screw you up.
He'll always something take you in?
Take you in, yeah. You really changed him.
And when you think, you've really changed him,
he'll leave
you again.
Life lessons.
Yeah.
Of Kim and Kenny.
Yeah.
Cause he'll break you every time.
This is the best part right here. Listen to Kenny right here.
Just hold on.
He popped some sort of intestinal thing right there when he said that song. Okay. And now, the fat
These are
man.
The worst songs I've ever heard.
I know. And now, number two.
But we should tell people that you're listening to the songs from the week that Mount St. Helens erupted.
Yeah.
That's why we're playing these abortion songs.
Yes, exactly. Now, here's the fat man who's sensitive, Mr. Christopher Cross with Ride Like
What
the
number
wind.
Are we at?
We're at number two.
Jesus God. All right, here's Christopher Cross. What song is this?
It's called Ride Like the Wind.
Ride Like... Okay, wait.
You hear the wind?
Hold on. Is it the wind is going to play here?
Yeah.
It's a big dramatic big dramatic opening. Christopher Cross. Ride Like the Wind. AM 970. See, you can judge songs by the first 3 seconds. You know if they're crap or not. This?
Right.
Crap. You can tell bad synthesized wind sound and like somebody clapping coconuts in the background.
But he thought it was great then.
Oh, I'll take a horrifically dated for 1,000. Oh, this is terrible.
It is the night.
Just stop.
Sorry.
1, 2, 3.
It's the night. Oh. My body's weak. I'm on the run.
It's like they knew his voice was bad because they're mixing it as low as they possibly can. Like, how in the mix can we put his? Can we just get rid of him entirely? Just turn him down more.
This is what he looked like, Dom DeLuise. You know, a guy who looks like Dom DeLuise with a voice like this. You know? Okay, let's hurry and get to the one that really is good. Number one, it's Blondie with Call Me.
Yeah! Listen to that.
Yeah,
it's that's
good stuff.
Now, this was music.
Yeah.
It's the best song.
Call Me!
How great is that?
Great song.
The Storm cover this, she really ought to.
She should, huh?
Yeah. It's like I saw Storm and I saw New Year's Eve and she did that. What's that? Is it Kim Wilde did that We're the Kids in America?
Yeah.
This kind of has that same sort of vibe.
Is that where we sang Surrender together, you and me?
Yeah.
That was great.
Let's never talk about it.
It was a great time. People always talk about it. It's legendary.
This is a great song. I could listen to this song all day, every day.
Harry Truman can't. Because Harry Truman is dead.
You know what I like about Blondie is the...
driving around.
What's that?
When the song came out, I was driving around with it blaring with the top down of my brand new Toyota Celica, which would be repossessed 6 months after I had lost it.
Memories.
Great.
Listen to how hard this rocks. This great little midsection coming up, too. Where they take it up as if. But she does that, anytime, anywhere, anyway, or whatever it is. I really sound like Butters sometimes on the show.
It really sounds good, like, you know, it's really good.
Wait, here we go. Oh, no. I'm early.
I didn't what?
How great is that?
Great song, and she does French.
Come on! Oh, we didn't just do that. All right, there you go. There's your top five, kids.
The top five songs that Harry Truman heard before.
As molten lava was filling his ears. There you go. 503. That's whose bones they ought to go look for. Harry Truman.
Harry Truman.
Sell those at the Saturday market. 503. Would you buy something made out of Harry Truman's bones?
Yeah, I would.
If I had, like, what if it was something you had to use, like a toothpick?
I don't
think I had a toothpick made out of one of Harry Truman's bones, would you buy it and use it?
I wouldn't use a toothpick, no.
All right.
I wouldn't.
What if it was like an ashtray?
I'd use that.
All right. What if it was a necklace or some kind of trinket you could wear around your neck?
A necklace made from Harry Truman's bones on eBay. I'd sell it on eBay.
I would totally wear that. Just so I could tell.
How about his teeth?
If you had, if you gave me a necklace made of Harry Truman's teeth, I would completely wear it every day. I would wear it to work every day, and I would tell everybody I met what it was. These are Harry Truman's teeth. You would totally do that.
How about his petrified earlobe?
Yes. Yes, that too. Or maybe you could just put it, encase it in Lucite, and I could use it as some sort of a colorful paperweight on my desk. That meant a top five. Top five trinkets I can make out of the bones of Harry Truman. Sarah's not laughing. Sarah does not appreciate our particularly edgy kind of humor. I believe we're skewing too male right now.
Right on, man.
All right. Okay. Well, we got to go to the city desk here in a minute. But so, Clyde Lewis, you are going to be at Dante's tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to be at Dante's tonight at 8 o'clock. Hey, you know what? I don't know. When you're done with all your stuff, I brought that Pink song if you guys want to hear.
Oh, the Dear Mr. President. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard the album version is really good. I finally heard it.
She actually, that was the first time she ever performed it in public was at Dante's at my show. So I don't know if we can play that, but when we do, I guess you got to go do some other things.
We're running dangerously behind here. Okay. But what time should people go tonight? Because the History Channel is going to
be there at about 7 o'clock. Start piloting at 7 o'clock. And we'll probably take it to the stage about 8 or 8:30. So that'd be something. And then, of course, Karaoke from Hell after that. I'll probably build out a couple tunes and we'll call it a night. So
all right. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you, Clyde Lewis.
Thank you.
It's been too long, my friend. You have to come back.
You should quit that real job and come in once a week.
Come on.
I'd love
and
to.
And, like, at your real job, do you ever get to make any observations about what you could make out of the petrified bones of Harry Truman?
No, I think
do you get to.
That made my day today. I think I'm loosened up enough now to know what's going on.
I do try to help. Oh, by the way, we did get the obligatory email from somebody noting the radioactive waste flowing into the... It's the longest way to go for a dumb punchline. A guy sent it, I don't even have it for it. A guy sent in an email about blah, 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 radioactive waste flowing into the water and creating a series of mutated sea creatures. He then signed it with, "Oh, the huge manatee."
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Here you go, kids. Not going to get that on the goddamn Lars Larson show. You bastards.
We are comedians. Remember that.
We are comedians. We have teepees. Clyde Lewis, kids. There you go.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Try the veal. Let's go to Tim Riley at the City Desk, ladies and gentlemen.
My headphones are all stretched out.
It's because Clyde's head is huge.
All right, let's try to fix these here. No offense, of
course. Yeah, he's still behind you, Tim.
I know my head.
He's standing
huge.
Like 6 inches away.
They're like slipping down the color of my shirt. Well, they've been broken in anyway. Well, here we are.
I don't even know what we're doing anymore.
I don't either, but let's keep reading, shall we?
Just plunge on ahead, mindlessly. Okay.
Well, I was hoping to have the pictures of those two allegedly cruel parents posted, but my blogger is down.
That's okay. But Tim Riley Media later today will have the picture of those. And they are just bug-eyed freaks. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's all get a grip here.
You know, it was just, I think, Friday when we were talking that, well, trying to leave Alcatraz is unmentionable. I mean, it can't be done. You can't swim away from
Alcatraz. That's the whole thing, because the only two people they ever even think made it out of there, they assume probably drowned, those two brothers.
Well, now we have a seven-year-old Glendale, Arizona boy who has finished his 1.4-mile swim from Alcatraz to San Francisco. His name is Braxton Bibry, and he is the youngest person ever to make the swim. And he says now he has an even loftier goal.
I don't know. Swim the English Channel.
Okay. There you go. Seven-year-old. What kind of prison can be beaten by a seven-year-old? That's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, two days after winning re-election to his second term as mayor of New Orleans, Ray Nagin meets today with some key advisors to map out a 100-day plan for City Hall and further implementation of hurricane recovery. Yesterday, he spoke on about the congratulatory phone call he received from the president.
He basically said, look, you know, I've been through the storm with you, and we've gone through some tough times together. Uh-huh. And I'd rather, you know, continue to rebuild, within that mold, because I understand what you're all about, and I feel comfortable with that.
Some more news that means nothing. Some more mindless press releases that contain no actual content or substance. We've got that ridden sound?
Yeah,
I don't even know what these sound cuts are.
Uh-huh.
Law?
Well, there's a law in Michigan which says it's illegal to seduce an unmarried woman. Now, to some, it may seem outdated, but it is used by attorneys.
How are you supposed to get married if you can't seduce an unmarried woman?
Mm-hmm. It's still used by attorneys to help clients avoid having to be placed in the state's sex offender registry. A state representative says a recent article in the Lansing State Journal quoted a judge who thinks that defense is used too often and shows change might be necessary.
We obviously have to leave some flexibility for the local prosecutors. They know their case better than anybody. But if something is being abused and we can rectify that at the state level, I think we should look at it.
Now there.
Okay.
There are situations where people are unfairly placed on the state sex offender registry for things like this.
The classic example is sometimes there's the 17-year-old guy and the 15-year-old girl. It's consensual. Well, that guy's right now registering for 25 years. Is that really the person we want on the registry versus somebody's going out and raping somebody?
I don't know whether it was here. Where is this?
This is in Michigan. Yeah.
I don't know if it's in Michigan, but I read some story. It was on FARC or whatever. Some story last week about some guy. Some kid. He's like 16, and he was 16. He was sleeping with like a 14-year-old girl, which is maybe you shouldn't be sleeping with somebody at 14. But it was consensual and whatever. And they're like 2 years. They're both underage anyway. But he has to register as a sex offender, and they were noting he has to go to his prom was coming up, mm-hmm. and because he technically had to register as a sex offender, part of the sentence was every girl he dated until he became an adult, he had to tell the parents he was a sex offender. So he has to like, I'm here to pick up your daughter, and we're gonna be going to the Tasty Freeze, and I'm a registered sex offender, and I'll be back at midnight. Goodbye. You know, and every date he went on, he had to wear like this scarlet whatever on his forehead. It said he was like a sex guy.
People are trashing the city of Detroit, and it must stop. Their mayor, Kwame Kilpatrick, introduced a plan today to deter illegal dumping in the city. Mayor will be clamping down on tenant eviction, the condition of vacant lots, tire disposals, and penalties for violators of dumping laws. They've introduced an amendment to give the administration the backing to crack down on people who make Detroit into one big dump. Meanwhile, on the TV tonight, on Monster Garage, they're going to build a crop circle maker. Also, The Goonies is on.
They're going to, oh, I'm sorry, back up. They're going to what?
Build a crop circle maker.
All right, there you go. Clyde left one story too early.
The Goonies is on tonight. That movie is 21 years old.
Down here, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. And let's see, anything else? No, that'll do it.
All right.
That's that. Let's talk about something for the ladies here. A menstruation is becoming optional for young women with a world of choices. Even that monthly curse.
This is one of those stories you haven't pre-read, I can tell.
No.
You're just wading right into it.
That's okay. We're going to dive right into this and see where it goes. Well, the menstrual period is optional. Thanks to birth control pills and other hormonal contraceptives, a growing number of women are taking the path chosen by 22-year-old Stephanie Sahuda. She hasn't had a period since she was 17. It's really one of the best things I've ever done, she says. The college student and retail worker in Lisbon Falls, Maine, uses Navering, a vaginal contraceptive
Nuvaring.
Ring.
Nuvaring. Oh. Is that like a diaphragm or something?
No, Nuvaring. It's like a, it looks like a jelly bracelet and you just...
Oh, okay. It's like a thing.
No, yeah.
It's quick
it's
and convenient.
It's expensive, though.
Well, but it's what?
It's expensive.
Well, but see,
awesome.
I've known about this for a long time, though. That we have now reached the point where you need never again have a period if you don't want to. Like if you take Depo-Provera. I knew a girl who took Depo-Provera, and you get it like once every 90 days or whatever?
I've known girls who have had that shot, and they became crazy. Every person that I know that has had that shot seems a little mental.
I'm just saying, well, it is jacking you full of hormones on top of hormones. But stopped having her period. It's totally, it's like a, and this, so I guess she may have been crazy, but she was also, but I guess she was crazy in like a predictable, like the same way every day. Like it, the craziness didn't spike, once a month. It was just sort of a, like it was a baseline crazy. So you knew what it was, so you could sort of cope with it and deal with it. Let's not read any more of the menstruation story.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things, right? Sarah just started to shift uncomfortably. Let me read a couple of these emails and then we'll get to,
Penis Watch.
What have you, oh no, have you got the blow up doll story?
Sure.
All right. And then Tim's got the first half of the penis watch. I've got the second half over here. Because
so the lady who's been waiting since Friday, you'll be rewarded for your patience.
Yes. So because it is part of our it's part of our new spirit of whatever. But I've got this. This is from David. Number of people for Horns Across Hawthorne. See, people have latched onto that. They've latched onto Horns Across the Hawthorne. So
maybe
they'll
spread it on the MySpace. Horns Across Hawthorne sounds better than the Hawthorne. It just sounds really awkward.
Yeah, but it's
did
not.
Did you say Horns Across
it's not
Hawthorne?
But it's not technically across Hawthorne.
But it's the Hawthorne Bridge. Like if it was the Burnside Bridge, it could be like Horns Across Burnside.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, so this guy says, Rick. I don't know where he's getting this from. He says, Rick, I think it would take about 250 people to make it across the part of the Hawthorne Bridge that is over water. That is from Dave. All right. So they get, I don't know. See, at some point, if somebody knows exactly how long, see, but that's, it sounds like a dumb question, but I don't even know where the Hawthorne Bridge starts. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't.
It starts downtown after the ramp, doesn't it?
But I mean, do we consider it? Once you get
in
the water, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want it, like, you can't start it when it starts ramping up.
Oh, just over the water part.
I'm just saying just over the water part.
They're probably from, like, bike path to bike path.
All right, so if somebody knows...
Somebody must have a tape measure out there.
Yeah, if somebody knows exactly how long or how, you know, how many feet across the Hawthorne Bridge is, you let us know. Because then you figure, what, the average person, you figure, what, 5 feet? Six feet? No, not, but I mean, you know. Well, yeah, you can't have people, like, butted right up against each other. You figure, people with their arms stretched out, what is the average sort of wingspan, as it were, of a human with their arms stretched out? You got to figure that's a good 5 feet, I would say.
Yeah, I would say 5 feet.
So you figure however many feet it is across the Hawthorne Bridge, and divided by, let's say, 5 or 6 feet, and then that's how many people we need to do the Horns Across the Hawthorne thing. So there you go. So that's 2 weeks from tomorrow. So I do hear a whole song in my head, though. Maybe a children's chorus? You know, right there towards at the end, you take it up a step, you throw in the children's chorus, and then you have a video with just like a slow motion flag waving behind Tim Riley as he does something or other. Here's Tim.
Well, an Iowa man, impervious to embarrassment, called cops this week to report the theft of a blow up. A blow-up doll, fashioned to resemble a porn star. I'm looking at it right here. According to a Council Bluffs Police Department report, Trenton Camacho called cops Monday
Trenton
night.
Trenton Camacho. He sounds like he's a male porn star or a kind of car.
Well, he called the cops to report that a priority U.S. mail package containing his Jenna Hayes love doll.
Jenna Hayes.
Had been opened and that the plastic plaything was missing. The box had been left in the common driveway of the apartment complex where the 21-year-old Camacho lives. He said he purchased the $32 item after receiving an email solicitation.
How high quality could a blow-up doll possibly be? It's only $32.
Oh, that could be. But he didn't plan on replacing the stolen goods. He added that he had not previously ordered any blow-up dolls and was not certain he was going to...
How poor could you be? Let's think about this. Let's just connect all the dots here. A, you're calling the police to report, and this is from the smoking gun, right?
That is.
Okay, I did see the police report. Like, they had a scan of the actual police report, the guy's love doll. It does seem to me that if you are calling the police to report the theft of your love doll, it indicates that you are perhaps not of the greatest financial means. You maybe are in a lower economic bracket. But by the same token... If you are poor enough that you need to call the cops to replace your love doll, it does seem like you're poor enough that maybe you ought to be buying food first. Finding a better place to live. Paying for a name change so your name isn't... What is it? Trenton Camacho?
Yeah, Trenton Camacho.
Can't you just see the mustache on that guy? Can't you just see Trenton Camacho? He's got like the pencil-thin mustache and like a lot of greasy product in his hair.
Well, this Hayes gal, who starred in films like Big Bottom City...
Let's just draw the curtain down on this story about porn star Jenna Hayes and her oeuvre. Oeuvre is a term for collected work, by the way. It's 503-733-2970. It was all worth it just for the sound of you crumpling it up. Well, let's break here because we got to get Peter Carlin. We'll have more of the City Desk. We'll do this penis watch.
Yes.
And so forth. And whatnot. Trenton Camacho. Hey, did anybody see The Simpsons last night?
No.
There was a radio guy holding a banner with 970 AM on it. Last night's Simpsons.
Oh, that's...
Does anybody know that?
No.
I got nothing.
I haven't watched The Simpsons since 1986, I believe.
Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. Take him 970. Solid State Radio. What can you do? Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. How are you? It's 503-733-2970. Oh, the huge manatee. There you go. All right. Yet we have gotten so much done today. We got the Weekend Geek launch today. Had Clyde Lewis in today. Pimp this thing. Talked about Horns Across. See, now I'm saying Horns Across the Hawthorne. That's probably better than Horns Across the Willamette. All right. It's just a question of whether it's Horns Across Hawthorne, Horns Across the Hawthorne. I think if you add the, it's a little bit of, you know, it has a little rhythm to it. Horns Across the Hawthorne. I think it's going to work better in a song, too. I just need to get a hold of a steel guitar. All right. 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, about the Hawthorne Bridge, December 19th, 1910 is when it was opened. It cost $500,000. Main span, 244 feet. That didn't seem right. 244 feet? It's got to be way longer than that. There's no way. 244?
I would think it was longer, but I don't know.
Well, this is from somebody, Yvonne. I think Yvonne is that the chick that has... She's a MySpace friend, but she never... I was complaining there was no picture, and she promised to send one, and they never did. All right. The Hawthorne, by the way, in case you're wondering, I know you are not, is the world's oldest vertical lift bridge. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. In just a moment, Tim Riley will step inside here. We'll do one more installment of the City Desk. Then Peter Carlin will join us. We'll talk about the Sopranos here in just a moment. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like.
You sound like you're killing time right now.
Rick@rickemerson.com. See, no, I say it, but then Tim hears everything 7 seconds later because he listens to a monitor post-delay. So there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the City Desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From From higher top of the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. The Supreme Court reaffirmed today that police can enter homes in emergencies without knocking or announcing their presence. Justices said four Bingham County, Utah police officers were justified in going inside a home in 2000 after peering through a window and seeing a fight between a teenager and adults. The role of a police officer includes preventing violence or restoring orders, not simply rendering first aid to casualties. An officer is not like a boxing referee, posed to stop a bout only if it becomes too one-sided, said Roberts. Meanwhile, should we do this penis watch?
Yeah, go ahead and do that, and then I can segue from that into my terrible news.
That sounds wonderful.
Featuring the phrase...
Onlookers were splattered with blood.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your penis watch.
Enormous penis. And my troubles start a-melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
So this comes to us from a Philadelphia suburb called Nice Town.
All right.
A Philadelphia man recovering from an attack allegedly at the hands of his wife, the assault on his private parts, has become public knowledge in an interview with Action News after his release from the hospital. 52-year-old spokesman spoke of his terrifying ordeal. The Nice Town man, who they're identifying only by his first name of Howard to save him from embarrassment, arrived home late Wednesday, hours after his wife allegedly tore off two parts of his genitalia with her bare hands. Surgeons at Einstein Hospital successfully managed to repair the damage.
Bare hands.
Howard said his 40-year-old wife, Monica, who he says is bipolar.
What kind of people are we that we immediately laughed at that? As soon as the phrase bipolar, our response is one of unbridled giddiness.
Jaded. Jaded.
Okay.
Well, anyway, somehow she conceived the notion that he was cheating on her, so while he was asleep that night, she attacked him. Howard said, I mean, she just grabbed me all down there and yanked and yanked and yanked.
Ah!
Turn me up with those fingernails of hers.
God damn, that's awful.
Paramedics rushed to the man's row house where they found him bleeding profusely. He was rushed to Einstein Hospital where doctors first labeled his condition critical. He was later upgraded to stable after having reattachment surgery and a few doses of morphine. Howard cannot believe his wife of 11 years will allegedly do this to him. Some neighbors say...
Allegedly. I don't understand where the gray area is. It seems like she's... either torn bits of your anatomy off or she has not.
Well, some neighbors say Howard had problems with his wife before and had thrown her out only to let her back in. They worry what'll happen next. Yeah. At one point, Howard's wife, Monica, was facing attempted murder charges, but now the DA's office has asked for a psychic evaluation be performed before any charges are filed. Oh, this time around.
All right, there's your penis watch for Monday.
Take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start a melting away.
The phrase, with her bare hands.
Take a look at my
That's really the flash point.
And everything is going my way.
All right. I'm just going to read this one story here. There's your terrible news. I was, you know what, I assembled this whole news bed to use because, see, I wanted to use, you know, because we do the news pile occasionally and we have the Inquirer when we go through. The new Inquirer is not out yet. I'm waiting for it. I think it'll be out tomorrow. And I wanted to use, for the bed for this, I wanted to use Dirty Laundry by Don Henley. But see, our good friends, and I don't mean that in an Eddie Haskell kind of way, our good friends Court and Fatboy over at KUFO, they use Dirty Laundry when they do this. They do the rock news or whatever. And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that loathsome radio personality stealing the ideas of others.
Idea?
No, because no. Because that's a contemptible and subhuman thing to do. So I do not wish to be that guy. So out of respect for their show, which is good, by the way, listen, you want to hear this? Do you have that A news pile?
Yeah.
Now listen, you all know the song Dirty Laundry by Don Henley?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here's my goal. My goal was to not actually steal it, but to find something that was as close to that as possible without actually being infringing. Go ahead and play the... it's got the little bouncy keyboard line. It's got
that's
the little...
Not, yeah, that's fine.
No. All right. I'm just going to read this story, then we'll get Peter Carlin. This is from the New York Post, the finest newspaper in America. A man's legs were severed early today as he tried to escape from an elevator packed with revelers leaving a party in the Bronx.
Oh.
The bizarre accident occurred at 12:15 a.m. on an apartment building elevator at Teubaut Avenue in the Fordham section. Got stuck between the first floor and the basement. Now, what would you do? Decide that you want to wait for help? Or just jimmy open the door and be crawling out of an elevator in between floors?
No.
Well, he chose poorly. That's when the man, who is not identified, but only described by cops as being in his 20s, was following two other men who'd safely climbed out of the elevator as he shimmied through the open doors. Yes, you guessed it. The elevator kicked back on and began to move, severing the man's legs.
So it wasn't the doors. It was like the ceiling?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The accident left the 14 people inside the elevator completely covered in blood. Witnesses said blood was just splattered everywhere. Half his body was cut in the elevator, said Carmen Valentin, who lives on the second floor. Half his body was inside and half was outside. There was blood everywhere. Or whatever. Cops worked to free the man before transporting him to St. Barnabas Hospital. The other trip riders were freed an hour later and have been offered counseling. There you go, kids. Right there, the New York Post.
What happened to the victim?
What?
Where's the victim?
No, he's dead.
Oh, he's dead?
I'm assuming. Well, listen to this. Half his body was cut off.
I thought it was just his legs.
Half his body went inside, half outside. The walls were splattered with blood. How could you? Of course he's dead. What are you, high?
Well, you initially said his legs. I didn't think that he died from his legs.
Wait, you can't have your legs severed in an elevator and live, can you? Well, I guess it doesn't say that he's dead.
No, it doesn't.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Peter Carlin.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Who grew up in the city that... You didn't grow up in New York, did you?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I lived there for several years. Though.
You lived there. Did it make you hard and jaded?
Stole my legs is what it did.
It sounds to me like this guy is dead.
Yeah, he doesn't sound too happy, does he? I don't even want to think about it.
I mean, the part where the onlookers were splattered in blood, that's the best part of the story to me. But it seems like having both your legs severed by an elevator would lead to one's death.
The Post didn't say that he was
the
dead.
It is the New York Post, so one takes everything with a large container of salt.
Then why don't you go out and buy the newspaper? You know?
Seriously, they're not giving me all the stuff I want to know. They want me to go buy the print edition. All right, how are you, Peter Carlin?
I'm fine, thank you.
Hey, so let's talk about the Sopranos last night, which... and Sarah's whipping off the headphones.
Yep, she's gone, man.
She's standing in a corner, fingers in her ears, humming to herself.
I know, you said the magic word.
All right, so let's talk about the Sopranos last night, which
was... Well, it turns out that Finn is not going to be...
Well, we can talk about that now, actually, because...
Yeah.
There was this rumor, this person... Literally, she's in a corner singing to herself.
La, la, la.
Do you want to just stand outside? Yeah, why don't you stand outside and I'll knock on the door when you can come back in.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's she's waiting. There. Hold on, and... All right, there you go. So there was this rumor that Finn, who is Meadow's boyfriend, was going to be sexually assaulted by Vito's...
By an angry Vito.
By Vito Spadafor. And
right.
We now know that's not going to be true because last night, Vito, in a very brutal whacking...
Yes.
I mean, that was... Flat out terrifying, especially.
Did you know where Philly came out of?
Out of the closet.
Hello.
Yeah. Well, and not only did he come out of it, not only did Phil Leotardo come out of the closet, which is great. I mean, in terms of like symbolism and all of that, but I mean, it was really terrifying.
Yeah.
Because he opens the closet like a Bela Lugosi, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that moment when Phil opens the closet doors and steps out is one of the most terrifying things I have ever seen.
Well, yeah.
It was so disturbing, and then they beat him to death with like steel rods or something. It was just so awful, and then violated him apparently after death.
Yeah, it was unclear whether that was after death, but I sort of could only hope that it was.
There was a violation with a pool cue, and it was so...
Pool cue.
I knew it was going to end badly for Vito, but I still wasn't prepared for that. It was really horrifying.
Yeah, Vito, well, you know, Vito nearly sort of kind of had it coming to him.
Yeah.
If he hadn't shot that guy in the back of the head that one time.
Maybe. But I mean,
that was pretty not nice.
It's all relative on that show. Everybody on that show's got it coming, I suppose.
I know, but they also... But the beautiful thing about that particular episode, the whole thing that sort of came to a climax, was the sort of horrible and to my way of thinking, allegorical, just the outrageous hypocrisy that went along with everyone's assertion of their own moral... superiority to poor Vito.
Sure.
You know, and even Leotard at Phil there telling his widow that the kids are probably better off now not to have him as a role model. And it's like, hello. You know, but that's again, I mean, it's such a sort of a beautiful little encapsulation of a larger social perception.
And there's that sequence where Phil Leotard was talking to his wife, who he's talking in turn about how the priest says that Vito is damned and so forth. And you know, you think of Philly Atardo, who should be stating, who kills guys?
I mean, it's just so
insane.
It is. It's totally and completely bonkers. And then there was the part with where Carmella, Tony's wife, is off in Paris running around and sort of grooving on all the beauty and art of Paris. And that all kind of came to a climax as she looked up and saw the beacon in the sky,
which was just
echoed
to what Tony saw.
Tony's imaginary sort of coma dream beacon.
And so to what end? As Sylvia would say, to what end?
To what end? One of my friends, one of my TV critic colleagues, who's actually very, very smart and cool, except I disagree with him here, is under the impression that he believes that Carmella will eventually become the boss of the family.
Really?
That is the climactic.
He believes that. He doesn't know, but he suspects.
He suspects. He believes that's where the tea leaves are what they are forming.
That's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't buy it. I don't necessarily, except for that, you know, there's that one woman whose name now I forget who runs the auto parts store who is obviously mobbed up now and
barking
orders and being a real mover and shaker.
Sure.
And putting money out on the street.
Yeah.
That's what I need to do. I need to get some money on the street.
Do you
have any money on the street?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't really know. It's like somebody asked me if I had peeps and juice, and I said I really wasn't sure. I didn't know the answer to that. Can I just tell you this? Look, I'm not advocating child abuse, but boy, do I just long to see AJ just beaten senseless.
Tony certainly made clear that was what he really was wishing he could have done when he took the boy's football helmet and smashed it through the windshield of his car.
That was another terrifying moment
and urged him to not put him to the test.
Because for a split second, I think we all thought that Tony was just going to brain him with that thing.
Well,
I mean,
really,
I did. I did anyway.
Yeah. But he loved, I mean, you know, I don't, I never suspected that he was going to take it.
He's
going to beat the crap out of AJ, no matter how richly deserved that.
Well, but he told that to Melfi. He said, I want to beat my kid. And I know parents will say that, but I suspect that with Tony, it's more than just an expression.
Well, he would do it in the loving way that a father would brutalize his child. put him on the straight,
with,
narrow course.
Do it with love.
Do it with the love and the respect.
Yeah. That kid, though, man, he just... And I know this is the part of it. It's like with Janice. I know it's part of the show, and it's a testament to the acting and the writing. But that kid, I just despise him with everything in me.
Yeah. Well, the beauty part there was when he was, after he'd been, they found out he'd been fired from Blockbuster, which, as Tony observed...
How do you get fired from Blockbuster?
They have rhesus monkeys as managers. A beautiful line.
Which is fantastic, yeah.
And I have to think that played really, really big among our Blockbuster working friends.
Of course.
There was a lot of howling with...
Absolutely. Yeah.
But the part where after they were finally figuring out exactly how moronic AJ was for being fired for selling the old stand-ups and publicity stuff, he said, "Well, do you ever stop to think that maybe, like, I want to protect the environment?
Yeah.
They just throw this stuff away."
Yeah.
And you're thinking, like, that's when you wanted to pound the kid.
He's just, well, and it's just, of course, we have the advantage, I guess, of being looking on the outside, and we know how much stuff he's lied to them about. You know, and I know all kids do that, but I don't know. This is just something I just want to see that kid just beaten with a hammer. I don't know why. It's wrong. It's wrong, I know, but I mean, what are you going to do?
At least they cut his hair, though.
Yeah, seriously.
Except for it was beautiful when, was it Polly who referred to him as Van Helsing?
Yeah. So there's that. So we got, what, one episode left?
Yeah.
And
that's in 2 weeks.
That's
in
2 weeks?
Next week they're going to do the last three episodes, like a walk-up.
Oh, yeah. All right. I do stand by my assertion that this has been a weak season.
Well, dude.
I know. I'm not trying to pick a fight about it. I'm just saying, relatively speaking.
But you can't, like, throw down like that and then back away and say, I'm not picking a fight.
All right. Bring it on. Come on.
Well, you're wrong. That's all. Next.
I'm not saying it's a bad season.
Plus, also, it's not. Don't forget, this is a bifurcated season. So threads that are being teased out in the first 8 to 10, 12 episodes are then going to become an array of nooses that, you know, whatever, in the second half of the season.
I guess.
I'm sorry if your gratification has to be delayed for several months.
Maybe it will all come together and make sense, but I do feel, I just feel that there's a little bit, it feels a little scattered. Again, like the Carmella thing where, like, first of all, I don't remember her even winning this trip. I'll take them at their word that they showed us that. But it's like, I don't know, it's like she goes off and then she's back off.
They showed you that or not. That's not the point.
I'm just saying it seems rushed. It's like, what, you know.
But things that aren't linear aren't necessarily unconnected.
Just say that I'm not smart enough to enjoy it. Come on, just say it.
I'm thinking that, but do I have to say it?
Really? That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Sarah Dillon is now, you may now come in. We are now exiting the spoiler section. Of the so the whole Finn assaulting isn't going to happen. So that, which is alternately good and bad, because
but you said that after you told Sarah to come back in.
No, she's not back in yet.
Oh, okay.
It's unclear whether she's even returning. No, you can come back in. No, we're done. Just walking. Okay, when Sarah is back in. Okay, we're done.
Okay.
All right. So by the way, there's a big you have a large piece in the Oregonian today.
Oh yeah.
And is it about coin? Is that who it's about?
You must have loved it.
No, I didn't have a chance. I didn't read what you read in the newspaper. I walked in and Tim and Sarah were reading it, though.
Oh, is that right?
I did not have a chance.
It was a very well-written article.
But we noted that you are sort of the Mike Wallace of the Oregonian in that...
I am 85 years old.
In that you are liver-spotted and wrinkled. No. Now, in that... Remember, it was 60 Minutes. And by the way, did you watch 60 Minutes last night?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I have the DVD here.
The Mike Wallace recap, the interview, an hour-long retrospective on that guy's career, man, he shames us all. That guy is so with it and together still.
At
88, at his advanced age.
Yeah.
But I was going to say that, like, when you are sort of like Mike Wallace in that whenever you are writing about somebody, that person, you know, it's like, it's no good. Like, no, there's nothing, something bad is about to happen. Like, you know, like you would see Mike Wallace coming in your front door with a camera crew and you knew the jig was up. Like, something terrible was about to be broadcast. Like, you were in trouble. And so, whenever there's a large Peter Carlin piece about something, it's never for anything good. Like, you were totally the hitman at that paper. So.
Well, that is kind of not what I was expecting, but okay.
No, I'm just saying you are.
It's a compliment.
I'm saying you do not. I'm saying that unlike so many journalists who write puff pieces, non-substantive pieces, you have a very sharp and critical eye about certain facets of the media, and you are unafraid to confront those issues head on and point out various perhaps challenges or hurdles that the media face.
Well, I may be stern, but I'm fair. And in a related note, you know, I'm going to do a piece about you, so we should get together.
Oh, this is where it all falls down. All right. Other than Lost, is there anything good this week?
You know, there's this new show on BBC America that I've been watching called the In the Thick of It, which is about a very incompetent cabinet minister in England, which is hysterically funny and very raw and very wonderfully profane, and in the way that only Brits can be profane.
Fantastic.
I mean, not that anyone puts on dresses and runs around, but it's very smart and cool and tells you a lot about American government, too.
Excellent.
That's a cool thing to watch. And what else? Lost? You got your two-hour Lost? We discussed that already. I don't know. Just the usual
excellent
stuff.
All right. And so...
Saturday night on the radio, I'll be on LiveWire, OPB, 8 o'clock. Been 2 hours back-to-back. I'm in the second hour with Stephen Malkmus from Pavement. Got to check that out.
You know what I love most of all is when people come on here to promote their appearances in other stations. That's
sorry, dude. It's a big world. It's a big world.
It's my very favorite thing.
I'm giving you my whatever it is that I do for free.
Yes. No. And I listen to that. See
wow.
It all. See, that's where it all. See, this is where the mask drops and it all comes out. All right, thank you. All right, Peter Carlin, read him in print in the Oregonian.
It's my pleasure to give you my services for free.
Read him in print or, you know, read the Willamette, whatever. It's up to you.
Listen to press radio stations, random ones.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Okay, bye-bye.
Right, there you go. There's Peter Carlin. All right. It's 503-733-2970. I'm just going to read this email before we break. This is from, do we have his, this is from our, the guy with the thing. It's from our good friend Todd, Todd the Corpse?
Come on!
There you go. It's a long way to go for a short, stupid sound effect. Good Lord, Rick, can you imagine being trapped in an elevator with a pair of severed legs for an hour? Oh. How about being one of the two guys on the outside who had to look at the guy's face and his legs were severed? What do you say to comfort that guy? How about, I'm sure you'll be back on your stumps in no time? Or maybe do you try wacky humor to cheer him up, such as, I hope you're not a leg man. Ha, ha, ha. There you go. That's from Todd the Corpse.
Come on!
All right, let's take a break here. Be back after this. It's 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show continues next. Like us at 3. World-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Don't go anywhere.
There's some things you just can't put in the minds of those kids. As we celebrate mediocrity.
We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. And then there's a story about this guy whose wife tore off a sensitive part of his anatomy with her bare hands. This quote, she wouldn't let go. I had to hit her to get off of me. My hands are all swollen from hitting her. So there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Make a note. Back in 21 hours with Tim Riley, Sarah Dillon, etc. All right, so tomorrow we got to figure out if it's horns across the Willamette, horns across Hawthorne, or horns across the Hawthorne. We're already getting logo submissions, by the way. That's how you know it's a genius idea. So tomorrow, tomorrow it'll be 2 weeks away from 666. Comes once in a millennium. So on Tuesday, June 6th at 6.06 p.m., we're going to be gathering as many people as we can on the Hawthorne Bridge. We're going to try to get from one end of the bridge to the other. And then at 6.06 p.m., everybody, devil horns, picture, snap. And then everybody will hang at Dante's, where I believe at Dante's we will have a pentagram of prizes to spin. So more details on that as we come. And then we got to figure out some sort of a song to write, because it does scream out for a song. All right. Do we have anything else? Anything else I need to get to? Oh, and somebody sent me a picture of the elevator where the guy's legs got severed. Apparently, there weren't 11 people. Apparently, there were 17 people inside.
They didn't have pictures of the legs, did they?
No, but apparently, he's not dead. He's in critical condition.
See, you can still live.
So there you go. So, you know, that's...
you get a lot to live for.
Ending kind of an up. Okay. Somebody asked her, the elevator started moving and severed his legs. Does that mean... They all had a leg up on the end. Okay.
It'll be good to see him back on his feet again.
Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who has now put her sweater back on. So you can all end your fantasizing now. We want to thank our CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard and Ed McCarthy, news director, of course, Tim Riley, and man in charge of blinking and beeping things, Sean Couples. We thank you for coming by. Like us next, Phil Hendry at 7, see you in 21 hours. As always, don't let the bastard turn it out. Thank you for listening. See you all tomorrow. Bye.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.